And hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. We are underwritten by National Grid and also sponsored in part by Lifetime Medical. So a big shout out to them and thank you because without them, we wouldn't be able to be talking to you right now. And I don't know if you just missed that first segment and the first half hour of the show, but that General Reggie Cintracchio, I just love him. He's got everything together, and, you know, he's a musician. He forgot to say he's so involved in the Scituate Arts Festival, which I know just happened, which was a wild success. And, of course, he does so much work with veterans and just to make sure that things are moving along. So, you know, hats off to Reggie Cintracchio. What an amazing, amazing man. But now I'm going to transition a little bit. As most of you know, I've been talking, and I will not stop talking about our Waterfire Salute to Veterans coming up on November 7th, and there are so many different aspects of it. It's one of those fires that starts again earlier because of the time change, but we start with a celebration up at the State House between 2 and 4, and then we end up coming down with an incredible torch ceremony between 4 and 4:30, and then after that, everything's happening. Memorial Park and all of the monuments are lit up like never before. We have manless canoe ceremonies in honor of our fallen soldiers. We have a resource fair, which is absolutely jam-packed, and every year, it seems to get bigger and bigger, and, you know, part of that resource fair and part of the celebrations, there's a couple of different things. But there's been this one really amazing woman named Lynn St. Germain, who I met a few years back through my friend Barbara Haynes, who is one of the heads of our executive committee for the Salute to Veterans. And actually, the Waterfire Salute to Veterans, I got to tell you, Babs, straight up, it's because you gave me that phone call and said, you know what, we're putting everything together and this is what we're going to do. And we took off running. But my friend Lynn St. Germain is, one, a Gold Star mom. And Gold Star mom of United States Marine Corps Sergeant Brian St. Germain. And I want to talk to her about that a little bit because I don't think a lot of people out there know what a Gold Star mom is or a Gold Star family is, and we'll certainly be saluting them at this water fire. But she's also one of the heads of Family Readiness Support Assistance for the Rhode Island National Guard, and they do amazing things. But again, without further ado, hey, Lynn, what's going on?
Hi, Bronwyn. Thanks so much for having me back here again this year.
I know. It's funny. We were on a conference call yesterday, and I was thinking, I want somebody else for the show tomorrow that really has just got a lot of pizzazz, has got an incredible story, and has been working, again, diligently. She's part of our committee that has been putting together this Waterfire Salute to Veterans. And, Lynn, it's just always, one, a pleasure to talk to you, and also to tell people kind of what these different things that we're doing are, because to be honest with you, before the Waterfire Salute to Veterans, I didn't even know what a Gold Star family was.
And you know what, Bronwyn, most people don't. And our SOS, Survivor Outreach Services, which is a program that's throughout the country, they are trying to, with public service announcements, they're trying to get word out on what exactly a Gold Star mother is. And I know people online can't see this, but it's a gold star surrounded by blue.
Yep.
And then a gold circle around it.
It's a beautiful, it's Brian's dog tag.
I have mine attached to Brian's dog tag, yes. But the blue star, the gold star itself, yep, is a pin that's awarded to families who have lost a loved one overseas in a war. A KIA, killed in action type of situation. And most people, there are people that have come up to me and say, oh my God, what a beautiful pin that is. And it's like, they don't know what it is. So we're trying to get word out to, I know that the Blue Star Moms are also trying to get their name out there and get more awareness about them. And what a Blue Star Mom is someone who has a family member currently serving, either inactive, the guards also are able to consider themselves Blue Star Moms also. But what it does is, what happens is, you go from a Blue Star Mom to, if your service member gets injured, you go to a Silver Star. Yeah. And then if the service member is killed in action, it becomes a Gold Star. It's a banner also that most people have in their homes, or they'll hang it in their window. Mm-hmm. And it developed back in World War I to let people know that they had a loved one overseas, so that people would bring awareness to that. Yeah. And then we had the Cold War, so we didn't have wars really going on. We didn't have the deployments that we did. But then with the war on terrorism, that obviously picked up. And I think more awareness of the Blue Star Moms have been out there. And then, like I said, you hang it in your window, and it just kind of lets people know. People put it on their cars. You'll see it in their car windows sometimes. So if you see a rectangle with a red banner and either a blue star or a gold star in the middle of that, that means that the blue star means that they have one currently serving. The gold star means that they've lost one.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your son?
What do you want to know about my son?
Well, because I know there's a foundation, but when did he serve? What's the history? Because I can't imagine anything. I could never even wrap my head around what it must be like to, you know, see my son go off and the pride to fight for the country. But then there's that other double side, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He came up to me, I mean, to try to make it a shorter story. I could go on for hours about my son. So I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. But Brian was decided he was going to try college. So in January of 2002, I believe it was, he went, dropped him off at URI. And by the time spring break came, he came home and he's like, Ma, I don't want to do it. I can't do college. I don't want to, you know, go to school all day and then come home at night and have to do work. It's just not something I want. I said, okay. I said, then what do you want to do? Because you can't work in the grocery store for the rest of your life. I said, you tell me what you want to do. He said, I want to join the military. He said, and more specifically, he said, I want to join the Marines.
Now, do you come from a military family?
My dad served in the Korean War, but he'd never even met my dad.
Okay.
So, like, he didn't know that. The one thing that I do think that really pushed Brian is Brian's uncle, his great uncle on his father's side, is George Luz, who was one of the original Band of Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah. So I know that when Brian was younger, he would talk to Uncle George for hours about the war and stuff like that. So then when Band of Brothers came out, Brian, I mean, couldn't get through the book fast enough. He read the book. Then when the miniseries came out, he was enthralled in that. Like, that was the first thing. As soon as it came out, he was like one of the first ones, I think, that probably bought it. And so he was very intrigued with Uncle George and, you know, specifically Band of Brothers, too.
Yeah.
So I know that totally encouraged him. My biggest concern with that was when Brian, I said to him, you hate to be told what to do and when to do it. I said, what do you think they're going to do in the military? And he's like, no, Ma, this is something I want to do. And he absolutely thrived in it.
Yep.
He made the rank of sergeant in less than 4 years, which, according to what people tell me, is quite a feat to be able to accomplish that in less than 4 years, especially in the Marines.
Yeah.
It was the amount of pride that goes with your son or daughter serving in the military is absolutely amazing. But then there's always that fear.
Yeah.
There's always that fear that the knock on the door is going to happen.
And the knock on the door did happen. But you seem to have turned it around. I'm sure it took a lot of time. But I know that on our Waterfire Facebook page, and when we rebroadcast this podcast, that there's this Sergeant Brian R. St. Germain Foundation, which is something that you have started, which is doing really good things. And I know you've got an event coming up on October 25th that I want to talk about. I want to talk about what the foundation does and what a beauty you are for taking this and turning it into something that is positive and that is helping other people. And then we come back, we got to talk about Waterfire and what you're going to be doing with that family readiness tent,
awesome,
the resource center, all right?
Yes.
We are talking to Lynn St. Germain. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And when we come back, more about the salute to vets, more about this incredible woman that I'm speaking with on what she's been through, what she's doing, and what a big difference she's making in people's lives. And hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And I am having a really phenomenal conversation with my friend Lynn St. Germain. She is a Gold Star mom. I want to thank you for just talking to us about your son Brian, and it was really interesting, and I hope you'll repeat what you said to me during the break, because I don't know if sometimes you know whether it's an okay thing to ask somebody. And
What I was saying during the break was that so many times people are afraid to speak to a mom or a dad who has lost a child, because they're afraid that they're going to either make them sad or that they're going to remind them that the child is gone. And that you don't, when you speak of the child, you don't remind them that it's gone. We know we live that every day. What you do remind them is that the child has lived.
Yeah.
And I think that's more important. I think the parents really need to do that. And any parent that I know who has lost a child would love to speak about them and just wants people to know that that child was remembered.
Yeah, Lynn, how many Gold Star families are there in Rhode Island?
In Rhode Island, you know, it's... I'm going to say we probably have about 25 to 30.
Okay.
That's just with the new since 9/11, though. I don't know if how many there are prior to that.
Yeah.
Because we did have the Beirut. We lost several family members, several Rhode Islanders in the Beirut bombing. I want to say 12, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. 10 to 12. And actually, that remembrance is coming up in Portsmouth on the 23rd. So this coming Friday, I don't remember the place in Portsmouth, but if you look up the memorial, Rhode Island Memorial, Beirut bombing, I'm sure that people can find out where it is, but it is in Portsmouth.
And there's that. And then I know on the on October 25th, what is it? You've got an event.
On October 25th, for Brian's Foundation, my son's foundation, the Sergeant Brian St. Germain Foundation, I do a breakfast fundraiser to raise money for Toys for Tots and for Brian's Foundation. So that's coming up on this coming Sunday. It's 8 to 12 at the West Warwick High School cafeteria. We'd love to have as many people there as possible. It's a fun event. We do raffles. You get eggs made to order. You get home fries, sausage, bacon, pancakes, coffee, and juice.
Lynn, are you cooking?
I am not cooking. No.
I put the event on.
But it is, like I said, it's eggs made to order, which you don't usually get at fundraising breakfasts. And we give generous portions.
Excellent.
So it's $8 per person or $20 for a family of three or more.
And so what does a foundation support when it comes down to it at the end of the day?
Like I said, it's we do Toys for Tots.
Yep.
We give each year. I think last year we gave close to $3,500. Just
nice.
In cash. That's not counting the toys that were dropped off that day also. We also do a scholarship in Brian's name at West Warwick High School to a student athlete. We do that $1,500 every year. We give to that.
Nice.
The biggest thing that I was raising money for was to do the West Warwick track over.
Mm-hmm.
West Warwick outdoor track right now is measured in feet instead of meters. So it's not a sanctioned track.
Oh.
Brian was an amazing track athlete. He went into the States. He went into New England. So he was really good. He did the hurdles. He did the intermediate and the high hurdles. And he had some of his best times at his home meet. But he couldn't qualify for states there because it wasn't a sanctioned meet.
How much does it take to redo something like that?
About $200,000.
Welcome to my world.
Yes. But can I tell you that we've had this foundation in effect for almost 9 years now.
Yeah.
And through the fundraisers that we've had and through very generous people, we have raised over $100,000 to put towards the track.
Congratulations. That is a massive feat. And
thank
as a
you.
Fundraiser, I
yes.
understand that completely.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you. And what I want to talk about, too, now, well, one, that's just awesome. And there is a Facebook page, as I said. You should be seeing it on the Waterfire Facebook page so that you can just kind of click on and find out more information about what's happening on the 25th, more information about the foundation itself. But now I need to talk about our resource fair because you're going to be there.
I will.
With the Family Readiness Support Assistant. So what is that?
Rhode Island has a family programs. Underneath family programs, it's kind of the umbrella. It's run by a state family program director who is Lieutenant Colonel Harmon. Presently, That changes depending on, you know, what their tour of duty is at that time. Underneath family programs, we have the Family Assistance Center. We have Survivor Outreach. We have Family Readiness Support Assistance. We have Military One Source. We have Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, who we all work in the hallway down at 541 Airport Road, the more better known as the Warwick Armory.
Yeah.
We all work under there, and we help service members. We help their families. We help get them resources. If they're down on their luck, and there are grants out there that are available to them that will help them to pay for their rent if they're behind in their rent, that will help them if they've had a house fire, anything that may have happened, we'll help them get better jobs. We'll help them get a job. We'll help them with their resume. We'll help their spouses with a resume. We help if a retiree has passed away. We'll help the family figure out what the benefits are, how to get those benefits.
See, that's such an important information. And yeah, I was even thinking about, before somebody gets deployed, trying to ready the family for and that sort of that's a huge shift.
Right. And that's what I do personally. As the Family Readiness Support Assistant, I work with the commanders to make sure that the Family Readiness Group is up and running and active, so that the families are ready before, during, and after a deployment. And like with the National Guard, that could be at any time.
Yeah.
They could get called up for a hurricane. They can get called up for a blizzard. It doesn't necessarily have to be just when they're at war. At that time, when that service member is away, we want to make sure that we take care of the families so that if something does happen, suppose there's a flood in the basement, well, we don't want them to get in touch with the service member. Get in touch with us. We'll help take care of it. So then when the service member gets back, we can tell them, this is what we did while you were gone.
Everything's and taken care of.
Exactly.
That's the most important thing. We only have 1 minute left, but I know that you're going to be at the resource fair.
I will be.
At the Salute to Veterans for the third year in a row, right?
Yes.
And yes. Really, I think the resources that, if anyone out there is listening and that you have just listed off, that you supply to help people, really important to know that those are available and that they're out there. And
the only caveat that I would want to add to that is that it doesn't always necessarily, it's not always, it has to be within a certain time frame that they're a veteran. So Vietnam veterans may or may not be able to take part in the program.
But people can come down and they can get more information and find
Absolutely.
Out from you whether they're eligible or not. Thank you for all the amazing work that you're doing just all around. And I always love seeing you, and you always make me smile.
Oh,
and,
thank you, Bronwyn.
You know, you're on our Salute to Waterfire
Yay.
Veterans Committee. And we're going to rock it out on November 7th. So come down, visit me, visit Reggie, visit Lynn. There's so many other things happening, too. Thanks again, Lynn.
Thank you, Bronwyn. I enjoyed it.
Everybody out there, I'm going to be seeing you down by the riverside on November 7th. You have been listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business.